everything you need
for a brand new day.
Cliffo and Kate for breakfast.
Today on the Cliffo and Kate podcast, you have been saying the name of your favourite lolly, Kate, Chupa Chups, wrong for your whole life. And so many of us have here down under.
I don't believe you. It's always going to be Chupa Chup in my mind, Cliffo. Hey, we also talk about what age you give your kids a phone because you are at that age. Matilda's 10. To phone or not to phone?
Yeah. It's coming up, the Cliffo and Kate podcast.
There have been some figures coming out of Queensland about Queensland teachers' resignation. They've basically spiked more than 50% since 2020, which is absolutely huge. Yeah. Look, to weigh in on this, we're joined this morning by Queensland Teachers Union Vice President Leah Olson. Leah, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Leah, this is some pretty startling stuff. Essentially, we're talking here, not enough teachers to teach the kids going into the future, which is really shocking. Is this going to be a crisis in the future or is this a crisis now?
Look, what we do know is not only across Queensland but Australia, but globally, we have a teacher shortage crisis right now. And every year we do see some resignations and retirements, of course. And that's what happens in any profession. But what's really crucial right now is that we keep the teachers and school leaders that we have.
How do we keep them in the education system then, Leah? And why are they leaving? How do we make them happy?
Look, we are hearing of all sorts of different pressures from our members. A lot of the things it comes down to, this is a system of the chronic underfunding that's happened in state schools now for more than a decade. So we've got teachers teaching out of field. We've got school leaders having to take on additional classes and then go home at night time and then having to do their core business as a school leader. But also what we also need to remember is to make sure, again, that we have more funding in place so that we've got the teachers that we need in schools.
So it's about retaining the teachers that we've currently got by the sound of it. This is not my opinion, Leah. I know this because my ex is a teacher, but a lot of people, and you would have heard this being the vice president of the Queensland Teachers Union, a lot of people would say things like, geez, working 9 to 3 and those 6 weeks holidays at Christmas, sounds like a pretty plum gig. There's a lot more to it than what we just see on the surface.
That's it. We get that a lot, and I've been a teacher for 28 years, and I can tell you that, yes, it's nice to have the break. We also, many of our teachers and our school leaders right now may be at school planning and preparing for next term. People also doing it from home as well. You know, so we just don't turn up on the day and start teaching. There's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of accountability that goes into being a teacher to making sure that your students get the best.
Leah, how do we attract more people into the profession? Not just people leaving high school, but I, you know, have a husband who's considered sort of changing careers, and teaching was sort of one of them. You know, for him, the biggest sort of hurdle was the studying. But how do we attract more middle-aged people or people to make that career change into teaching?
Yeah, and that's exactly what's happening at the moment. So we know that the average age of a teacher coming into the workforce now is around 36. So a lot of those people will have families, they have responsibilities. So what we need to make sure is that we've got paid internships. We've got the Queensland government have, as an election commitment, have brought in the Trade to Teach program for any tradies out there who might want to go into teaching. We've also got the Turn to Teaching program that we've seen many graduates coming through that way as well. But it's also about the incentives to get people, especially into those rural and regional areas, housing, making sure that childcare is available so that they can take their families with them, and also making sure that we can keep them there.
All right. Well, if you've ever thought of getting into teaching, Kate's hubby, Matt, looking at you, brother.
Yeah. Oh, Matt would make a great teacher.
He'd be wonderful at it.
He'd be amazing.
I mean, look, rewarding career. Leah Olson from the Queensland Teachers Union. As parents, Kate, both and I, we want lots of teachers. The last thing we want to see is overcrowded classrooms for our kids. So I hope it's onwards and upwards. Leah, thank you for explaining it for us this morning.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
Triple M's pressure test. 10 questions, 60 seconds, and a grand in the hand.
Do it every weekday morning at 8 a.m. $1,000 cash on the line, and this is the part of the pod where you get an answer for free.
The question is, what is the name given to animals with backbones?
Oh, geez, Kate, what is that? They are. I'm going to have to.
You've timed out.
It's on the tip of my tongue. Can you see it?
It's a vertebrate.
It's a vertebrate.
And if you do not have a backbone as an animal, you're an invertebrate.
Yeah. I don't have a backbone as a human. I'm a real weak gutted dog. That's your answer for tomorrow's pressure test playing after 8 a.m. Wednesday, April 10 on Triple M and Listener. Kate, when you're a kid, you look up at your parents and you think they've got stuff worked out. It's only when you become a parent yourself you realize that life, it's just one huge guessing game.
We have no idea what we're actually doing.
No one has any freaking idea. And when you meet someone who has got a bit of an idea of what's going on in the world, you're like, oh, what a weirdo. Like,
true.
How they worked it out. But I know myself and my wife, Michelle, as parents, we're always just sort of guessing and hoping you make the right decision. And we've come up to a really big fork in the road because my daughter's about to turn 10 in 2 months' time. And the harassment to purchase her a mobile phone has really started. And I'm talking nearly every day.
Really?
Kind of nagging. And it's hard. It's hard for, I think, people like me and you, because when we got our first phones, we were well into our teens. The most technologically advanced thing they could do was play a game of Snake. You know?
Absolutely. You couldn't do anything. You'd text, you'd call, and you'd play Snake. Yeah. That was it.
And that would sound like this.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
They sure did. Back in when we actually used to have our phones on and they used to ring. Yeah, now they're just on vibrate.
Yeah,
right?
I haven't heard a phone ring in about 2 years' time. So my daughter's gone real hard and I sort of didn't really know what to do. So I thought, oh, I'll do what I always do. I'll consult Dr. Google. So I've sort of looked it up to see what experts are saying, and I was shocked because I was thinking in my heart of hearts, I was thinking, yeah, maybe when she's 16.
Yeah.
Like I was 16. My wife was 16 when she got a phone back in the day. My daughter can wait till she's 16. Shocked to learn, and this is just one article I got in front of me, but there's dozens of these. Experts suggest that you should wait to get your kid a smartphone until they are 10 to 14 years old.
That's a big age gap. So the maturity level of a 10-year-old, which is almost Matilda, compared to a 14-year-old, that's a big gap, you know? That's a really big gap.
The thing that got me the bottom of that age is literally like where my daughter is now, and she does have friends in her grade. She's in grade 5 at Ryan Catholic College. She has friends in her grade who do have a phone. So it's making me think, oh, geez, maybe my wife and I are behind the times. Like, should 10-year-old kids be getting a mobile phone?
It becomes a bit of a peer pressure thing, doesn't it? Like, you don't want her to be, like, in 2 or 3 years' time, the only person in class without a phone. I don't know, maybe you do, but it becomes like you're the only person that doesn't have it and your parents are sort of, you know,
want to isolate your kid for
Correct.
Any reason.
No,
do you
don't, but it is a touchy subject. Like, for me, my thoughts are, from a safety security perspective, if Matilda's on the bus or she's going to the shops with her friends or something like that, perhaps a phone to know where she is that you can text and call. I know that you can get those phones from, I know, a lady that works at JB Hi-Fi that you could potentially get in touch with.
I'm sleeping with a lady works at JB Hi-Fi.
You know, the phones that just don't have the internet where there's
like,
nothing.
Like our old phones, dumb phones.
Maybe you could start with that, Cliffo.
Yeah. Look, 133353, love to put it out there. Mm. What age did you get your kid a phone? This could have been, you know, recently, could have been 10 years ago. I don't know. The technology has changed a little bit, but it hasn't changed that much. A phone still is essentially a phone.
Yeah.
So whenever it was, but just 133353, when did you make the call that, yep, it's okay for your kid to have a mobile phone? Because it's something that my wife and I are genuinely struggling with at the moment. And you and Matt, Bo's only 5.
We'll get there eventually.
You'll get there. You'll have this.
But also it's nice to know when we chat as well, whether those people have regret. Like if they go, oh, I gave my daughter a phone at 10 and I regret not waiting a little bit, or shivers, I didn't give my kid a phone until she was 16 and she was bullied for it.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what the ages are and if there's any phone regret.
Be a good bribe, wouldn't it, Kate? Like, empty the dishwasher or I'll take your phone. I like that.
Good negotiation. Like, this is true.
Melinda on 133353, when was it for you?
My daughter was 9.
No.
So she's just turned 9.
And it was purely because her bus was constantly missing her and not showing up.
Right. Do you live a bit out of town?
Out at Mount Lowe.
Okay.
Far enough.
Yeah, and so we would get messages from the school saying, oh, she hasn't come to school today. And I'm like, I've dropped her off.
So
yeah. So this phone is an Opal phone.
That's what I wanted to ask. So what is that? That's not like a full smartphone. Like she can't just download the Twitter app or the Facebook app or TikTok and be straight on that.
No. So this actually has family sharing. I know when she leaves the house, returns to the house. I turn the apps on and off. She has to ask for access.
So from a security perspective, you think you want to make sure that your daughter's safe. She's on the bus. She arrives at school because you've had problems in the past.
Yep.
Any regrets or any sort of thoughts? Has this been a really beneficial thing for you and your daughter and your family?
Yeah, it has, because we can see when she gets off the bus in the afternoon and when she gets home. I know that she's actually made it to school because it tracks her.
Yeah, okay.
I don't mind the
and
idea
it sends
of that.
And it sends me notifications. It doesn't have a camera, so she can't take videos and cameras and photos of herself.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it has access to, like, YouTube and the internet and stuff, but you can turn that on and off.
And you can monitor it heavily, I guess. Melinda, that's been really helpful. I must admit, the idea of tracking, particularly when she's 18 at nightclubs and stuff, that sounds great.
Couch potato, 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 potato.
Been a while.
It has. It really has. I love your recommendations on Couch Potato, Cliffo. I need one because I'm currently watching replays of Schitt's Creek. I can say that because that's the title of the.
No, Kate Swore. Mark it down. 7:38 a.m. Kate Swore on Tuesday morning. Did you finish, just quickly before I go into the new one? Did you finish Boy Swallows Universe?
Mate, I did, and it was so good. It was so good. It was probably the best series I've watched in ages. Honestly, if it wasn't for your recommendation, I wouldn't. Yeah. Watch it, I would have passed it by, but geez, it captivated me. It took me a while to watch it, like the hour-long episodes and stuff usually sometimes took me 2 days to get through it, but I loved
it. Like, as good as Aussie drama. Yeah, if you missed my review of that, you can get it on the Listener app. Today we're heading overseas, a UK series I want to review. This was number one over Easter on Netflix. It's called The Gentleman. There was actually a movie based off the same thing made by the same guy a couple of years ago. He's taken the movie concept and serialized it. Now, it's pretty much, I'm going to call it like an action drama series, like a real gritty crime action drama series set in the UK. And apparently it's set off like a situation that's really happening. So you know how over in the UK, in parts of the United Kingdom, they have like old English manor style homes. Think like your Downton Abbey.
Oh, absolutely.
And stuff like that. Now, apparently in 2024, a lot of those are really struggling because the old money from years gone by is all spent.
The upkeep on them is huge.
The upkeep on them is absolutely huge. So a lot of these owners are actually kind of really struggling. So in the series of The Gentleman, to combat that, there's a whole series of these old Downton Abbey style sort of English manors that become pretty much drug growing dens for marijuana crops.
So really?
All the sheds and the stables and all that, they become these sort of hydroponic labs for growing marijuana. So that is the premise.
Wow.
You've got these sort of old school aristocratic sort of families who are then sort of merged into the world of like gangsters and the underbelly and all that sort of stuff. Here's a little grab of the trailer. It's pretty action-packed.
Do you know what I admire about the British aristocracy? They're the original gangster.
He is the rich like me.
Refinement with aggression.
I like the sound of that already. That sounds so good.
Lambo, were you saying that your brother absolutely binged this series over Easter?
Oh, yeah, I think all in one sitting.
Yeah.
Okay, so I need to know the stats for me. Okay, how many episodes, how long are the episodes? Because Schitt's Creek that I'm watching at the moment, they're like 22-minute episodes.
Yeah,
and
it's
going to
blow
about
that out of the water. I can't remember.
Like an hour?
Exactly, Kate, but probably similar to Boy Swallows Universe. Like, you'd be looking at maybe 10 eps. maybe 50 minutes.
And it's a Netflix series too.
It's on Netflix now. And, mate, I got to give it. Oh. I was going to give it 4, but after hearing that trailer again, I got to give it a solid 4.5 spots out of 5.
Nice.
Get on it.
Mate, I'm getting home and getting on to that. I reckon I'm going to put Schitt's Creek on hold and go for The Gentleman.
Schitt's Creek has gone through the literal shitter for The Gentleman, streaming now on Netflix.
Cliffo, a debate has sparked online. I love an online sparky debate. There was a woman, an American woman. She was on holidays in Japan. Mm. She reveals that she was judged and shamed by a hotel employee when she ordered off the kids' menu. So she ordered a cheese pizza. She got it delivered. The person that delivered it said, "Where's the child?" And she said, "It's not for me." She posted this on TikTok to say, "Well, I should be allowed to order a kid's pizza." And wow, it really went two ways.
I feel like this has been a debate for a while, hasn't it? Like,
yes.
I know there are certain venues, because my wife's quite a little eater, and they have, like, there's certain venues who will have on the menu, kids' menu, 12 and under.
Yeah, right.
Like, they will specify. You would have seen that before.
I've absolutely seen it before. Look, I'm a big eater, so I've never really wanted to order off, and I'm guessing you fall into that category too, Cliffo, right?
Yeah, I mean, the kids' menu always looks appealing, but I'd probably take about 6 meals to.
Yeah. But, you know, I've got a couple of friends that have ordered off the kids' menu before, like a smaller size pizza. And I think they do it because it's smaller. I think majority of people are doing it because it's smaller, not because they're maybe being a tight ass. I don't know. But look, Cliff, I'm very lucky in a sense that I'm currently sleeping with a hospitality expert. And he joins us on the phone this morning. And that is my husband, Matt Gibbold. Morning, darling.
How are you?
I'm so glad she said that person, that expert I'm sleeping with is my husband, Matt. I breathed a sigh of relief when I heard your name.
Yeah. Would have been weird if it was somebody else.
Yeah. Welcome, Philip Jamison.
Yes, whoever that is. Matt, so we were having a bit of a discussion about this last night. So you are currently the publican at the Dalrymple Hotel. What is your stand on grown adults ordering off the children's menu?
I don't mind. I think it's, if that's what they want to order, I'm still going to get the money and that's okay. But it is a lot harder to police now with all those ordering apps on the table.
Tap, of course. Order,
and then you can't deliver a 6 chicken nuggets to a grown man and say, "Oh, sorry, sir, you're too big for it."
Yeah, right. Do you have anything on your menu to say that it's only for kids 12 and under?
Yeah, we do, 12 and under, but it also comes with a soft drink and an ice cream, so you're pretty lucky.
Jeez.
Okay, so that's a good incentive.
Hold the schooners of beer, I've got a fire engine and an ice cream.
Yeah.
So, but there would be a lot of venues who probably aren't as lenient as you, Matt. Like, even you've got the thing on the menu, but there's a lot of people who just would outright refuse, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I have publican mates that are exactly like that. They won't sell it to anybody that doesn't look of age.
Oh, it doesn't look of age, under 12. You also said the same thing about seniors' menu too. You said you were happy to give people a smaller sort of meal even if they weren't seniors?
I would prefer if they ordered from the seniors' menu because it's more adult food. But, again, it's all money in the till. That's what I'm paid to do.
So basically, if you're not a big eater but you fancy a fire engine and a soft-serve ice cream, maybe go hit up the deli for lunch?
Yeah, absolutely.
I love chicken nuggets.
Welcome to all new customers.
I know where Kate and I are going for lunch today. Harvey, Matt, big love. Thank you.
See you guys. It's Triple